October 4th, 1992. We're gathered at the bookstore for a meeting on Saturday afternoon. Greetings, Commander.
Oh, greetings. Let's give Overly a round of applause. He got it right the first time. That's what you call thinking in advance. We've already had 2 hours of this morning. Jean, our guest has gone.
Yes.
Mrs. Zona, Susan, welcome. I believe that Jean has gone back by way of Mariposa, hopefully to speak to your friend. We have quite a few new faces here. Perhaps you would share with us.
That means, please
introduce yourself.
Well, it means we don't want any opinions, just your name.
Mariposa.
Susan Renna Mariposa.
Well, we are pleased that you would come so far.
Really, it's a privilege.
Richard from Mariposa.
Well, my. Maybe Jean should have stayed here.
Might have gotten more done.
Connie Gibbons from Ramona, from San Diego.
Wow.
Franz Bradville from Pasadena.
And I'm Gary Long. I'm not quite a newcomer. I was here in October before, and I feel like I've been here for many years.
Yes, you have. Wearisome, isn't it? About to keep coming back to remember.
George?
George Van Noy, Los Angeles, from the film project.
And there's Miss Jenny with the question. Thank you.
We tried this last week. We were going to give it another go. It's hard to get to everything. I understand that. And from time to time, ones get distant enough or have never gotten close enough to understand. And it doesn't come as a form of discipline or nagging. Please understand that anything that comes as pressure from us is necessary because ones have missed either the change or have become so mired in the muck going on around you that somehow God always will wait. You see, that word that said, wait upon the Lord, you misunderstood, and you think that means put him aside and let him wait. If you want help, and that's what all of you petition for, the only way you're going to get the help is to listen when your petition gets response. It will rarely be in the way that you perceive it to be. When you just get down on your knees and pray to God, please send me money, I wouldn't hold my breath. That's not the way it works. You're put here to experience, and you will witness miracles if you follow the instructions. And we went over this morning because ones get frantic to either increase the wealth or at least make ends meet. All the while they are praying, God, my goodness, do something. Well, we're trying. He just sends us and we're trying and trying and trying. Oh, well, I don't want to do it that way. I don't believe that will work. Well, as long as you don't believe it will work, that which you're given, it won't. In fact, I if nothing else from the pleasure of this morning was when Gene said, you know, I do have a tendency to put your writings aside to get to later. And every time I'm sorry, because if I'd just done that, it would have worked. But you struggle, and something prods you to put it off. Well, guess who it is? It's that little old consciousness that's just hating its experience, but not going to allow you to grow into yours. So you will set God aside and the gift that He has given you to answer your prayers and petitions. We have 55 volumes of it now. And I know it's overwhelming if you just got started, but you tell me one thing more important. And then we'll lecture for 4 hours. Well, you said getting the word out is more important. What word are you going to get out if you don't know what it is? You go forth with opinions that are invalid. It breaks up marriages, breaks up families, breaks up relationships because, well, I go to church and those people are evil. How do you know? How do you know what to tell them if you don't study your homework? You see, it doesn't matter whether you do or don't, because obviously you are choosing your experience. God has given the laws. You've long since stopped following them. That's all right with me, because you're going to follow them if you ever expect to get back home and into harmony with God. And I know that unless something happens on your place through an energy blast, you've got all the rest of infinity to do it. And therefore, if you choose it the hard way, that's perfectly all right with me. But I have to ask you to do that outside my space, because we are here to work. We're not here to have a cult. We're not here to have Sunday school classes. We're here to respond to your needs and your petitions as best we can. And to speed through that, we are beginning to have more regular sessions that we can offer simply on tape. We cannot take the time or ask anyone from this place to type off those tapes. It is just too time consuming. I have doubled my output already in writing. I will begin to put some subjects to tape that I will ask to have transcribed, because they will go into later volumes. And I can transcribe a tape, or I can dictate a tape, in a third the time that I can write. I want you to know, again, what do you answer ones when they say you are an anti-Semite? It really isn't enough to say, no, you're wrong, because I am the Semite and you come from the Khazarian races, or at least the political Zionist. You're full of it. What are you talking about? Does it ever occur to anyone to turn around and say, what do you mean? Who are you? Well, I'm a Jew. So what? Explain that to me. You see, this is why people don't want anything to do with the material, because it bears truth. And that complicates living with understanding and knowledge. Comes responsibility, and I don't want any of that responsibility. And if you're crazy enough to take it, I cannot bear you. Now, I'm going to have to go through again what I said this morning. What have you lost? You have a marriage that is so loving and so wonderful that it cannot stand disagreement. And one will say to the spouse, you continue with that, I'm out. I'm gone. What have you lost? Love? Please, spare me. And if you succumb to that, you better think carefully. If ones have studied every word of the information coming forth, number one, they're going to understand where you're coming from. Number two, if they don't, then they are at least acting, having experienced the information. But you see, that is not what happens. I refuse to look at that. It's evil. How do you know? Brother John told me it's evil. Who's he? Well, he is the minister of the Diamond Cathedral. Where's that? Is that in heaven? No, it's right down near Garden Grove. Oh, I see. And where did he get his information? From God. Who said? He said. And he read it out of that book, the Bible. And I repeat, there are over 300 translations in your local Christian bookstore. Which one did he read? Well, he read the King James Version. Since when has any monarch that you've ever run into ever spouted the truth? And do you think King James wrote it? It was written to suit King James's needs so he could remain in power as the monarch. Oh, well, I use the Living Bible. I just remembered. Well, who wrote it? God, and every word is true. Well, what about those other 298? We're up, you know, we've just knocked off two of them. If you believe every word in that book, what about those other ones? Oh, well, they belong to the Lutherans and the Methodists and the Catholics and the Mormons. Oh, I see. How many gods do you have? Obviously 300. And you call me pagan? You have one. And as representatives of that one, you only have one thing to deal with. You and God. Gurus aren't going to help you. Meditation's not going to help you. There isn't any magic to help you. You see, David Copperfield doesn't do magic. David Copperfield has learned what he can do. There is no magic. There is great showmanship, but no magic. And magic is not going to float down over you like a gossamer cloak. You're going to learn, or you're not going to get very far. Not in the path of light. You're not going to find any great rapture. Told you that anyway? Who told you there would be a great rapture? Oh, we just assume. Oh, well, tell me how come you assume. Well, it says in the Bible that God will come and he will be seen and everybody will know. Well, what's your rush? Has that happened yet? I thought not. And so what comes next? Oh, well, he's going to be there somewhere. And we'll all know he's there. And then we'll all who believe on the blood of Jesus. Whoops. The what? Of who? Are you talking about Isu Emmanuel 2,000 years ago? Paul of Tarsus, Saul of Tarsus, a.k.a. Paul, changed his name to Jesus in Greece, not even in the Holy Land. Now that's okay, because people change their names all the time, and we always know by the energy form of whom you speak. So you can call me Buddy. No offense, Bud. And I will know if you're talking to me. Buddy may not. He will probably think that you're talking to him. A label is nothing. A face is nothing. A body is nothing. Only your energy form is valid. Unchangeable and totally legible. You just don't know yet how to see it. Is that magic? No, you just have forgotten. Well, you just teach evil over there. I don't teach anything anywhere. I bring you the truth. I cram nothing down your throat. We don't bring you in here and lock the door. We like an escape route. We don't make you get tickets at the door to get in. You're here to share, hopefully to hear. And if you hear and it touches you, to share with us. To come into your recognition whether or not you are among the ones brought back at this time on this place to get this job done. Now that's not as glamorous as sitting on your assets waiting for a rapture. I agree with you. But waiting never did anything except cause you to miss the bus, the train, or the spacecraft. So let's deal with those clouds. Rapture, and we'll all gather in the clouds. You're all going to fall right down on those assets if you get that far. And you have to have a propulsion system to get you up there. That's the most annoying thought of all. Because I want to tell you something. You just witnessed one person ascend a few feet off the ground. And his name was David Copperfield. And quite a few of the Tibetan magicians know how to do that. But that's one out of, let's see, what would that be? 15 out of 6 billion people? What are your chances? Especially if you just sit and wait, like they tell you it's okay. We're going to learn ascension. Sit down and listen. Hold your hands this way. And you'll feel yourself rise. How much of you rose? Even if you rose a little bit, is it enough to get out of the radioactive belt of your planet? God only asks that you use reason in your head, and if that's blasphemy and evil, then I volunteer. You have the greatest gift of all gifts unto human species, and that is reason and choice. And you petition for help. You're going to get it. If that intent is clean and pure, you're going to get it. If it is evil and negative and still intent, you're going to get it. God wouldn't give me something negative and bad. You ask for it. Why wouldn't he? If you expect failure, he will let you fail until you learn to succeed. And if you ask for things in pure greed, that's the way you're going to get them, in pure greed. They will solve no problem. And if you think in the name of God that you are going to go forth and fill your own greedy needs, utilizing God's people and God's help, you better think again. You won't succeed. Because at the same time, when you are offering help in answer maybe to your prayer, someone is sent. And you take advantage of that one sent to you to solve their petition to God for help. You have just created a real confrontation. Now that's what we're about. And if that doesn't go along with the religious doctrine of the local Catholic Church, I apologize, but not to the ones in charge. I say, ha! You show me your way, and I'll show you mine, and let's see which measures more closely with godliness. Will you be perfect? No. The master teacher told you that. The pale prophet told you that. Zoroaster told you that. Do you realize in all of these categories, they all teach the same truth? And it basically boils down to your actions only being as you would do unto another. And if you do unto another that which you would like them to serve unto you, you'll be okay. With a few more guidelines, you'll keep your planet in balance also. There are reasons for those laws. So you better look at what God is and quit being mystical, magical, and fantasizing. La la dreamland doesn't cut it. Dreaming cuts it. Visioning in reason tells you truth. Why would you expect God to be lesser even than his own creations called man? And that's what you want. You want him to be perfection, far above you, so you can snivel and grovel. What you don't realize is that God will never be above you. What you are actually doing is trying to put him below you. You can't do that either. And if you're lying flat of your belly in the gutter, guess where God is? Because you brought him there. And anyone who has grown into the enlightenment of the host, know this. That's why I say, get up off your knees. I want no part of it. I do not want to work from my knees. And only through action can an idea be measured. An idea can sit and rot in your head unless you do something with it. Well, I may make a mistake. So what? It cannot be worse than the mistake you're making of sitting and doing nothing. And if you get informed, you will know what to do, how to do it, and reason and action will bring it to fruition. If it be within the laws. You know what happens? If it be without the law, you will not allow it to succeed. You see, even the worst criminal in the world will eventually see to it that he gets caught in his own trap. And even that is taken out of context. Let's take Mr. Gotti, as evil a man as you might find on your local corner. Creates murder, creates havoc, steals, robs, crime. So we can discern that this man has done these things, and we can judge those actions. So what does that make Mr. Gotti? I don't know. I don't judge him. I do know one thing. Once again, in this world of evil, he got a lousy trial. Every one of the constitutional laws were broken. Things were introduced that are never allowed otherwise to be introduced in a court of law. And that's what they based their entire case on. So he was set up. It was time that they got him. They could not afford to let him get away again. His Teflon unscratched. It doesn't make the trial right. Maybe he's even getting his right justice. What is justice? Only God and self can decide on what is actually justice for any given action. You can discern whether or not crime has been committed, which is the breaking of laws, including very frequently, and in this case, murder, that is breaking of the laws of creation. Thou shalt not kill. That doesn't mean that thou shalt not kill sometimes. It doesn't mean that thou shalt go ahead and execute. You know, he killed, I execute. What's the difference? What's the difference? God created, only God has the right to uncreate. Well, but it deters others, does it? What if it's an innocent man? All it's done so far is ruin justice. It's a good way to get rid of your enemies if you are the elite. So I could stay on this subject for hours and hours. And it's important enough to do that. But you're in a critical time, becoming more and more critical every day. You have some incredible things going on. Right under your noses, they're moving your troops around like ants. They are shifting. You are at war. They are transferring over into United Nations armed forces. This is what will happen to all of those military discharged ones. They are dumping thousands upon thousands of people onto an employment market which has no employment. They tell you what, they're up to 11 million? It's far beyond that. Where are these hundreds of thousands of untrained people going to go to work? They're trained to be military. Some may run computers. How many computer scientists do you think are out of work? This is another step. This is the final closing door by the United Nations, given to the United Nations along with your nation at the signing of that charter. This is the unfolding of the plan. And you are now in step 3 of the plan to pull all into a United Nations enforced army. The blue turban, the blue flag. Nostradamus told you, if we want to get off the religious kick. You are at war. I have given you an overall summary scan of the major underground installations where missiles are housed, craft that you're going to think are spacecraft, literally have the ability for launching. And I would share, because I don't believe I got it into the packet of things. And I will speak totally in generalities. We'll call this man J.D. because it's not his name, it's not his initials. Did happen to be in Arizona. And I believe that he had been previously in the military. But let us just brief this right down. He happened upon a 12-foot chain link fence with razor wire out in nowhere.
Area 51 in Las Vegas.
Well, but actually in nowhere. With help like Oberly, we'll all be done in. This same thing could be in any one of these major installations, so let's not get hung up, and we can tease about it quite a bit. You'll find the same thing right over your mountain. And when he got here, he studied the situation a little bit, and he was curious, and he's watching, looking beyond the fence to the inner sanctum. When zoom out of the ground, straight up, a saucer-shaped, unidentified flying object, which got to a certain altitude and hovered there, and then shot a beam, which completely dissolved, removed the entire top of a nearby knoll, hill, and he was a bit taken back. But not nearly as much as when they encountered him and brought him in. There weren't any little gray aliens. They were all United States military. And they reasoned with him. And they told him, you saw nothing. You will remember nothing. You will tell nothing ever. Or... So for years, this young man said nothing. Only lately, because you see, in that area now is coming forth the military leaking that there is a space command and the aliens are coming and. And with all the talk, the precious ones writing, you know, began to discuss this. He worked with them. And they began to talk about extraterrestrials and the possibilities, etc. And he said, well, I want to tell you something that I have not spoken of. Now, this was a young man, 33 at the time. And that was very, very recently. I mean, like, within very few months recently. And he proceeded to say what had happened to him. Now, it should be noted that the young man had gone in for a medical physical that he had to have. On leaving, the doctor said, "You are in remarkably good health. I don't find anything wrong with you. I noticed from your blood sugar, whatever the test might have been, that you might be conscious of the fact that you could at some point develop diabetes. So you might want to watch that." In a couple of days, and actually what these ones do not know, is when the young man began to talk there, he also began to spill this because he had been holding it for a long time. So one day he starts across the street and dies in the middle of the intersection. Perfectly healthy young man. On autopsy, they found that his heart had totally exploded. Now, any of you who want to pursue that further, that has to be a focused microwave beam that hits and expands to blow out a heart. Stay close to God. Stay close to God. And that will not happen. That is a guarantee. If you break the warranty, then you have broken the guarantee. You have broken the contract, not me. It's serious time. They have pulled off what they set out to pull off. Well, then why are we going to fiddle with Bo Brights and Ross Perot and so forth? Because it's the only hope you have. And what else are you going to do? Sit and roll over? Well, I'm a patriot and I will not tolerate it. Won't you? What are you going to use against that laser or that phaser that blows your heart out? What kind of weapon do you have? Oh, I'd use my MK-1141. Well, what are you going to hit? You can't even find your enemy. One more dead patriot. Rick was to a meeting with Richard MacDonald, who does great work. He did great service. Mind you, I said did because he must now come along. And what he offered worked. And if enough people had done it, you would have your constitution and you would be putting this other thing where it belongs, in its grave. But you didn't. And you can become a citizen, sovereign within a given state, and now all you've done is mark yourself. Because you see, they've already set the Constitution aside and the states aside. You will come under a 10-segment district plan. They already use it. They set it up and they let the IRS function in it and the Agricultural Department, the Defense Department, and you're still playing state. Well, I am a patriot, I am for the Constitution, I am for sovereignty, and I will not take the mark of the beast. You took the mark of the beast when you put your little head out. You're marked. And in saying that I will not take the mark of the beast, you have just taken the biggest mark of the beast of all. You must reason these things. The adversary, what does adversary mean? The opposition to. The opposite of. Look what he's doing and do the other. And you'll have it figured out. He wants you to do that. He has told you, refuse at all costs the mark. You don't even know what the mark is. But you've just told him what it is. Here I am. Shoot me. I'm a martyr. Well, God doesn't need any more dead martyrs. He needs some living people. Well, I just can't do it. Who told you you can't do it? Well, it's in the Bible. Where? Give me a verse. Everybody always wants Hatton to be quoting from your Bible. I don't read your Bible. I don't like your Bible. There are parts of it that I revere and respect and honor. But there is not one person in this room, in all of you precious beings, that can tell me who said it. Who said he said it? Where did the one who said he wrote it get it? So all of you in your refusal and in your pulling away have just set yourself up as the biggest targets of all. They know where to go for the troublemakers. And so sitting in this room, someone said, well, but we become citizens. What happens, Richard, when executive order comes in and emergency orders and the Constitution is put on hold? Also, you have instant non-protection. You have just put yourself out of the system. You're not even going to be able to get a bowl of soup. They are going to confiscate everything you have. And when you say, but I'm a sovereign citizen, they're not even going to bother to laugh at you. And if you annoy them, they will simply shoot you. You have thugs out there who can't wait. They are trained. They are brainwashed. They are programmed to love to shoot you. And so what is Richard's answer if this should happen? It's war. We patriots will be at war, and you patriots will all be dead, and there will be nobody to bring this nation through. No way! You can go over here to the Crystal Cathedral and salute the flag. I don't want you saluting anything. That is a heavenly banner to fly over God's chosen nation. And you cannot do it by hiding in the cave. But you cannot do it by taking your gun and thinking you are going to force them. Well, it doesn't sound very pretty to me. It ain't. Brother, there are just some ways working within the laws they have made for themselves, totally within the laws of the land and the laws of God. Will you make it through with anything? They do not plan that you make it through with anything, number one. Number two, they don't plan for more than 550 million people on this entire planet to survive. And Mr. Bush said it to you. Cure AIDS? I think not. Well, if you would just give us the little frequencies. No. They would just take your little frequency boxes and use them on you. They hope you get sidetracked and distracted into those little things. You must think always of the whole and the goal. I have given some new guidance. It's time to make some changes because they're ready to bring down now those regulations on you. They're beginning to shift rapidly over. You see, they're closing out the funding, or trying to, for the SNLs.
Excuse me, Commander. Good time to turn the tape.
All right.
April the 4th, 1992. We're gathered at the bookstore for a meeting on Saturday afternoon. Greetings, Commander.
Aho. Greetings. Let's give Overly a round of applause. He got it right the first time. That's what you call thinking in advance. We've already had 2 hours of this morning. Jean, our guest has gone.
Yes.
Mrs. Zona? Susan, welcome. I believe that Jean has gone back by way of Mariposa, hopefully to speak to your friend. We have quite a few new faces here. Perhaps you would share with us.
That means... Please
introduce yourself.
Introduce yourself.
Well, it means we don't want any opinions, just your name.
I belong.
Mariposa. Susan Renna Mariposa.
Well, we are pleased that you would come so far.
Really, it's a privilege.
Richard from Mariposa.
We love you
all. Well, my. Maybe Jean should have stayed here.
Might have got more done.
Connie Gibbons from Ramona,
from
San Diego.
Ah.
Wow. Franz Brackville from Pasadena.
And I'm Gary Long. I'm not quite a newcomer. I was here in October before, and I feel like I've been here for many years.
Yes, you have. Wearisome, isn't it? I have to keep coming back to remember.
George?
Hi, yeah, George Vanoy, Los Angeles, from the film project.
And there's Miss Jenny with the question. Thank you.
We tried this last week. We were going to give it another go. It's hard to get to everything. I understand that. And from time to time, ones get distant enough or have never gotten close enough to understand. And it doesn't come as a form of discipline or nagging. Please understand that anything that comes as pressure from us is necessary because ones have missed either the change or have become so mired in the muck going on around you that somehow God always will wait. You see, that word that said, wait upon the Lord, you misunderstood, and you think that means put him aside and let him wait. Mm-hmm. if you want help, and that's what all of you petition for, the only way you're going to get the help is to listen when your petition gets response. It will rarely be in the way that you perceive it to be. When you just get down on your knees and pray to God, please send me money, I wouldn't hold my breath. That's not the way it works. You're put here to experience, and you will witness miracles if you follow the instructions. And we went over this morning because ones get frantic to either increase the wealth or at least make ends meet. All the while they are praying, God, my goodness, do something. Well, we're trying. He just sends us and we're trying and trying and trying. Oh, well, I don't want to do it that way. I don't believe that will work. Well, as long as you don't believe it will work, that which you're given, it won't. In fact, if nothing else from the pleasure of this morning was when Jean said, you know, I do have a tendency to put your writings aside to get to later. And every time I'm sorry, because if I'd just done that, it would have worked. But you struggle, and something prods you to put it off. Well, guess who it is? It's that little old consciousness that's just hating its experience, but not going to allow you to grow into yours. So you will set God aside and the gift that He has given you to answer your prayers and petitions. We have 55 volumes of it now. And I know it's overwhelming if you just got started, but you tell me one thing more important. And then we'll lecture for 4 hours. Well, you said getting the word out is more important. What word are you going to get out if you don't know what it is? You go forth with opinions that are invalid. It breaks up marriages, breaks up families, breaks up relationships because, well, I go to church and those people are evil. How do you know? How do you know what to tell them if you don't study your homework?